the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Indutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saraha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Indutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saraha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I'm suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what should we look at this morning? Cameron.
First, I'd like to say how grateful I am for this meditation venue. It's like being in a large outdoor cathedral.
Just gratitude for this beautiful outdoor cathedral.
Yeah. Just magnificent. Also, I wanted today's...
Can everybody hear?
No.
Okay, we have to speak up a bit because we've got the fan and the outdoors.
And that's another miracle to have some fans out here in the outdoor cathedral.
Right.
Moving the air around a little bit. The Project Joy assignment today has been something that I've been working on. What the quote was about how yes is the only living thing.
Yes is the only living thing.
Yeah, and how life is yes, and no is giving life over to ego. And so I've been really working with that. I had an awareness that, well, I had practiced with yes for a whole year one time before.
So you've done this previously, practicing with saying yes for an entire year.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the Sangha was working on it, and I really took it on because I could see there was a lot of no going on. And but I think it was a much limited sense of yes than I'm getting out of it now. It was more like when somebody asks you for something, or when life presents something, to say yes, but this yes is all there is to life. Brings in that it's not just periodically you say yes, you say yes every moment.
So there's just a deepening understanding of what yes means, not just, you know, yes to the content, yes to but just a yes in every moment.
And that, what I saw, and I think it was just this part of it was just recently at this last weekend retreat, was that the real cause of suffering is, I'm going to lose this because it's a big awareness, it's just trying to fly away, is that that rejection of what's here in the moment, when I feel like something is happening. When ego feels ego convinces me mm-hmm. that what is happening in life is not the way it should be going. Mm-hmm. It should mm-hmm. be this way. Mm-hmm. And that's the big no.
The big no is that that mm-hmm. ego place of this should not be happening.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. And I just have had an opportunity to be seeing that, you know, whenever that sort of energy comes up or there's a conversation that's, oh, this isn't right, or, you know, why are we doing that that way? Mm-hmm. It's just so easy now to see. It just stands mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. as there's nothing there but suffering, because what is, is.
Uh-huh.
And so uh-huh. I either have an opportunity to accept it uh-huh. and go on and enjoy whatever it is, uh-huh. or to have an argument with it and be miserable because it's not the way uh-huh. Uh-huh. it really could be if only people were as wise as, you know, to see and not be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's just, I just see the futility of that now and the arrogance and stupidity of it.
So, yeah, just seeing the arrogance, as you said, you know, seeing that's ego and seeing the arrogance and the stupidity of it. And when, and there's a greater clarity of when you're hearing that no, and an awareness, it sounds like, that that's just leading to suffering.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel good. It's just like
good.
Separation from uh-huh. what is, uh-huh. you know, pulling out away from mm-hmm. it. And
as you move your hands like that, it just feels painful.
It's
like a pulling apart or pulling away, you know, just a separation from what is.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And the thing of it is, whenever that awareness drops in, and I can just say, oh, yeah. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, I can accept it. Mm-hmm. I can be here with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then it's very clear that there is nothing wrong with it in the first place.
Uh-huh.
It's just ego
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
having its preferences.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So when the acceptance is there, you can see there's just nothing wrong with whatever is presenting itself at that moment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. There was there's some quote that we used to hear, haven't heard it for a while, but I'm not going to say it right, but it's something about if you want to be happy, just stop having preferences,
uh-huh.
something
uh-huh.
like that. Uh-huh. That's kind of an American version of a Japanese expression.
Uh-huh.
And that seems like exactly what's going on, is having uh-huh. an opinion that is going against what is
uh-huh, uh-huh.
that creates that separation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So seeing that opinion that arises, you know, having that preference, and just clearly, you know, making another choice.
Right.
I choose life. I choose it like what you began with. I choose yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like there's an ability to do that without any self-hate for the conditioning that's coming up that
uh-huh.
is opposed to it.
Uh-huh.
It just seems like, well, that's just what happens, you know. We're conditioned to have opinions or preferences,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so we do, and so we don't have to let that make us suffer,
uh-huh.
you know.
So seeing that, even, you know, seeing those preferences come up and seeing them come up without self-hate. And would you say maybe not taking it personally?
Yeah.
So much? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
just kind of seeing it, uh-huh. just for what it is. Oh, it's just a preference.
It's just a preference, it's just ego.
Yeah. Before I used to think preference was what was right. I actually
uh-huh.
believed that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And now I see it's just a preference.
Uh-huh.
So. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just a preference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see where we were and where we are with practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's it really is making it more fun.
More fun?
Yeah, there's no need to feel bad about any of it.
Yeah.
Or to feel like somebody's been doing something wrong in there by standing against life. No, it's just the way she was conditioned or whatever, and we're seeing it.
Just seeing it, knowing that if she would have known better, she would have done better.
Exactly.
Just not taking it personally and choosing the yes.
So, yes to the big yes.
Yes to the big yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. June.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have a preference. and it's more an aversion, which is kind of usually the other side of the problem, I think, perhaps. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's going to seem, I suspect. Well, I won't lead the witness.
Okay, good.
It really does hang me up. I get it's a thorn. And it's using the word God.
Using the word God.
Yeah.
There's an aversion there.
Yeah. And it clearly hangs on my adolescent understanding of God and my very soon thereafter complete rejection of that whole philosophy. Whenever I say that, and I can feel it right now, when I say the word God, that all comes into being, that judgmental man in the sky. That you have to obey. Or spend your life, spend eternity in hell.
Wow.
Okay. So all of that just comes into being with that one little utterance.
God.
Wow. And I've noticed it for a long time, and I want it to go away.
So there's that aversion. I want this to go away. This attachment to God, and yes.
As I mentioned recently, I've been reading those love-drunk Persian poets. And they use the word, and they use the word beloved, and lots of other words to point to the same thing. And I want to be that free.
You want to be that free. You want to be as free as those love-drunk Persian poets that just use that word, those words interchangeably.
Because they so clearly were not referring to my adolescent version of that.
They weren't referring to that judgmental punishing, you'll do what I say or you'll burn in hell forever. God, man. Yes. Yes.
So, I guess I hope the process of getting some freedom from that is just to talk about it.
Yeah.
And to keep looking at it and keep using the word kind of in the face of that welling up of unsure misunderstanding. It's where I grew up and what I learned, it doesn't feel like I misunderstood it.
So seeing that right now, you know, there's this deep desire to be free of it, and right now it feels like the way to that is to talk about it.
And use it.
And use it, and bring awareness to it.
Bring awareness to when it's hijacked.
When that word is hijacked.
Bring awareness to when I use it. And when it has been immediately hijacked into that very narrow view. And just in that moment, be aware, no, that's not. That's not how I'm using this word.
And that seems like an interesting place, that insight of that awareness that you use the word and then it's hijacked.
Yeah.
So just seeing that hijacking going on and knowing that that's not, I mean, I'll use the word, that's not what the heart desires to have attached to that word.
Yeah. And as you were reflecting, I just saw another piece of it. When I use the word, I don't want other people to think I'm referring to that.
Okay. Uh-huh. So we're going to have to control that they're thinking too about what. Yeah, I use that word.
Just so there's no confusion, just don't ever use that word. Uh-huh. So you never have anybody think that you're still that adolescent.
Exactly.
Don't use that word.
Yeah, can't use that word because we don't know what people are going to think and that they might still think we're that adolescent, punishing God person. And
yeah.
That is not, definitely not okay. Yeah.
So I have another thing.
Good.
I'm addicted to TV again.
Those addictions, they just keep
up. A few years ago, I was addicted. I got to the place, I canceled it. It was great. I got free of it. So I said, well, I'll get it back because there's things about it that are fun. Well, that was a couple of years ago, and now I'm right back in that place. So I'm just talking about it again. I don't know whether where I'll go. Don't know if I'll go home and call him tomorrow morning and say cancel. I don't know if I'll go through that bargaining process I went through last time, that come up with a formula, plan, and stick to a process that didn't work. I probably will. But I just have to tell you again, I just have to admit, to say it out loud, be open. Don't hide out, don't collude, I'm addicted again.
So just noticing an old-time addiction resurfacing. Would you say just a little bit about what is the kickoff for you that it's an addiction?
I don't understand the question.
Okay, I just noticed there's an activity and it's now been, you're saying it's an addiction. I just wonder what it is that makes
it an addiction
for you. How do you
know
it's an addiction?
I choose it over God.
You choose it over God. And what was this thought?
His angels.
And his angels. So you choose it over God and his angels, so it feels like an addiction. So would you say it's involuntary, or it feels like a choice?
Yeah. It's that nine karma, inertia, outline, sitting on the TV.
Okay. So there's, you see inertia and flatlining, and it's, so there's someone, so there's really a desire not to have that be a part of your experience.
It's a weak little desire.
It feels like a weak desire, but there's a desire to, something in there is
something
just,
in there yep. says, you're living your 70th year, you're missing it.
Yeah. Would you say there's something in there that just wants to say yes?
Yeah. Yes to something other than political commentary involved in this.
Yeah. And as you say, you don't know what's going to come of that awareness, but just becoming aware that it's an addiction and want to just put it out there because it does seem that when those addictions are brought out into the light, there's a little more support.
Because it's in here and it's turning. And there's, as I say, hiding out and colluding.
Yeah, hiding out.
been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And, so, that's all. So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Thank you. Christine.
One thing that happened this morning that I was able to see what ego does to me, I've been seeing a lot. It's awesome being here at the monastery. So one little example is this morning, so we're on retreat and it's awesome. It's just awesome. All these people are here and there's a lot to do, and people are doing what they need to do, and it's getting done, and it's just awesome. And so there was, I think there was an authentic part of, or there was an authentic part of me or something that came up and wanted to assist more, because it just seemed like there was a lot going on.
Okay, so somebody wanted to contribute more because it looked like there was a lot going on?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, everybody's very busy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot going on. Uh-huh. This is awesome retreat. And, like so there's this like kind of this natural, I'm available, what else can I do? And so I thought, so that came up, and I thought, well, I'm going to write a note and offer. I mean, I'm available to do some more stuff, you know, I can just whatever. And then this happens all the time at home. Then I'm told, well, that's just ego. You're, you know, who are you? They don't need your help. I mean, I think they got it all under control. And
so you're told by a voice, not by a note that you got.
Oh! All right.
Exactly. Okay, just to clarify.
Thank you. Thank you. In my head. So then I'm in a duality. Do I write a note and say, I'm available? You know, I just am. I'm at the monastery one more week, and then I go home. I'm more available now. Mm-hmm. You know, and or is that, you know, injecting your ego? Is that like, is that saying you people aren't adequate? Let me help you. And it's not. It doesn't feel like that at all. It's just an innocent.
Right.
And this happens a lot. There's this innocent little part that comes up, like, you know, I'll assist, or I'm available, or all sorts of things in my life. Yeah, it brings up emotion for me right now, just thinking, gosh, wow, you know, like we're all this huge bundle of energy and love, and of course we're available. And it's okay. I know it's okay to I don't know, give that.
Yeah. As you say, you're seeing a whole lot by how you're controlled by ego. And especially that tender, sweet part that's just like that, so full of love and, you know, just wants to participate, and she steps forward and, hey, I'm here, I want to do something, and how it gets stolen, like you might say.
Yeah,
by a voice that has all kinds of reasons why that's a, well, you didn't say this, but why that's a stupid thing to do, or, you know, what?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Why you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't ever hear stupid, because that's not like that, just wouldn't, whatever.
That would be.
That would be like, huh?
Yeah.
That's not how I talk.
That's not how I talk.
That would.
Who's that?
Yeah. But whatever. So there's just certain words, and it uses, and then I'm like, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
so it uses the words that you wouldn't suspect.
Yeah, it does.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So then I and then there was a little duality, and I I'd never want to be in a duality. That just seems like such a ridiculous place to be stuck. If I know I'm in a duality, well, like, why would I just stay in it? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna just choose something. Uh-huh. And so I wrote the note and just offered, you know, uh-huh. and then I posted it, and that's it. And like, so I know everything's okay. I just wanted to mention it because that happens, and sometimes at home it can get me, and I don't know which way to go. Like, I believe it. That's why it says what it says to this being and does it to everybody so that we believe it. Yeah, and then it's like, well, gosh, am I interfering? Yeah, maybe, was that a drop in insight, or was that ego sneaking in? Yeah, and so then I'm in the conversation again, and then I'm in a duality. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So seeing actually those points when it becomes a duality, when it becomes a conversation, and just bringing some awareness to it, and knowing, I don't want to be in a duality, and I think I hear you saying, you know, I don't want to be in a conversation.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. That's it. Just drop it all. Uh-huh. And I just remember that's what ego does to me. Ego is just going to be there. Uh-huh. And, yeah, it's going to jump in when something loving drops in. It's going to jump in. That's what it does. Mm-hmm.
So when something loving drops in, something that the human truly wants to do, that's when it's going to jump in with its believable, semi-believable, but there's I hear you catching on to it, but yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to say is, sitting here in meditation, oh my gosh, is wow. It's just wow, and those leaves are coming out of the trees, and just beautiful. And this giant tree, it's like just everything. It's a beautiful day here in California.
For the recording,
and it's great to be here with it. And yes, and I'm very thankful and grateful to be here.
Just wow for the beauty around, and to meditate in this beautiful spot.
Thank you.
Penny.
That reminds me of something that happened yesterday. You know, one of the things that I get about conditioning is it turns things sour.
Sour.
Mm-hmm. And so I decided that I've gotten kind of loosey-goosey about Project Joy. Mm-hmm. So I said, so starting July 1st, I'm going to get back on it. Mm-hmm. And so I did. You know, first thing in the morning, I recorded the phone, and I was recorded about it later in the day, and I thought, and then tomorrow I'll do the same. And what came in was that it was eye language. That's it knows better than it is you language. How many times have I made these kinds of commitments? Okay. And and then I never do them. And what came, fortunately, happened was, who would say that? I couldn't say that. That's nuts.
Wow.
The only thing that would say that is something that didn't want me to do that.
Wow.
And it was very helpful. I mean, it's correct that many, many times I've said that and not followed through. So it's a tricky kind of statement because, and probably the reason I didn't is because that same voice was talking to me. Mm-hmm. But then I can point to the experience that I've blown it in the past, you know? But it was just clear, and I think it was actually probably clear because of the Project Joy quotes about yes and no. What was clear was, life would not say that.
Life would not say that.
It's sort of like, you know, when you hear somebody quoted, we think, no, that person would never say that.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was a saving moment.
So, just having the presence to hear or what was being fed. Mm-hmm. And it all sounded pretty believable. Like, oh, yeah, it's true. I know, I've tried this before and I haven't carried through, but just to bring the awareness of where is this headed?
And where's it coming from?
And where's it coming from?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And just seeing no place good.
No place good. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. It's like whenever a conditioning comes in, there's another little loss of innocence. Mm-hmm. You know? Because mm-hmm. where that comes from, I want to do this, is from a very innocent place. Mm-hmm. It's a very pure mm-hmm. little place. Mm-hmm. And then conditioning comes in to turn it, to turn it sour.
To turn it
and
sour.
And it's just like moment to moment loss of innocence that conditioning does to
us. Wow. A loss of innocence when you say that. Wow. Mm-hmm. The seriousness of it, really.
Yeah.
You know, to steal that innocence and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so then I had also an interesting experience yesterday evening with Yes No. Mm. So on Sunday afternoons, my partner and I feed the feral cats in town.
Mm.
There's a little crew of people, and we feed these, there's five colonies of feral cats. And so there's a crew of people, and everybody takes a day, and we feed these feral cats, and just so you know, they're all fixed.
They're all
expanding
fixed.
The population. The woman in charge of the program has been fabulous about getting them all fixed. So that let's put that to rest. So we feed these feral cats, and
lest we think
that we're adding to the propagation of unwanted cats around here. So and so there are these little colonies, and we feed them. And so last night at about 8:30, ready for bed, and my partner gets this text saying that the person scheduled for Saturday night didn't feed the cats. She was in the middle of moving, forgot about the cats.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's a flurry of texts back and forth about, can somebody run into town and feed the cats? And probably we're the closest people. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get up now and go and feed the feral cats. And it was interesting because there was some discomfort about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we are, you know, we're only 5 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, but I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and so first we said, well, on Sunday, tomorrow, we'll feed them earlier. We'll feed them like first thing in the afternoon instead of late in the afternoon. Because cats actually are pretty tough, you know. And then there was another flurry that went back and forth, some guilt tripping that was going on from the other part of people.
Oh.
And we just said, we're not going to do it. But we said, first thing tomorrow morning, we're going to feed them. And that actually felt okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although then there was that, it was interesting just to look at in terms of the yes, no,
mm-hmm.
because isn't this something life is presenting that I should say yes to?
Yeah.
But there was no inclination to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, at 8:30, we fed the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll feed, I mean, we gave them some kibble to tide them over, and we'll feed them again this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all that felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no resistance to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a busy morning, and, you know, I was watering mm-hmm. down here and feeding the cats and mm-hmm. then showering and washing hair and having breakfast and getting here by 10. All of that felt fine.
Uh-huh.
There was no no's about any of that.
There was no no's. Yeah.
And so when I was just finishing sitting, out of the blue, what dropped in was no urgency.
No urgency, wow.
And mm-hmm. so what, and I don't know the answer to the question, but just what came up is, perhaps what was going on last night was a call to be urgent.
Yes.
And
yes.
What was happening in the response was not just to know, but there is in fact no urgency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the cats had been imperiled,
mm-hmm.
we would have gone in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But cats are tough little critters, and they make it through a night.
Mm-hmm.
So so I don't know if that's what was going on.
Uh-huh.
So this not responding to urgency. All
uh-huh.
I know is I wasn't going to go in.
Wow. Wow.
And it was fine to go in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the yes-no is not real clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's this request. You know, on all counts, it seems like the good person thing to do, mm-hmm. to respond to that request, but following this other response in the moment, it was like, no.
Well, it was like no, and there was some discomfort.
And there was a little discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Both were happening.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
A lot of it was, I don't want to do that.
I'm done for the day, and I don't want to do it.
But it is not absolutely necessary to do that.
Uh-huh.
It'll be okay.
Uh-huh. There was a kind of a, it sounds like a weighing of the situation, and like it's not absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And that if there was something that was really, there was great, there was peril, there would have been a willingness to.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
To respond. Somebody said, I forgot to feed him for the last 5 days. there's, you know, such vulnerable animals that if they don't get fed, they're really going to be in danger. But anyway, I don't have a, I don't have clarity.
Yeah.
I just know that was all that was going on. And it was just interesting that out of the blue, because I was not thinking about it all, at the end of the sit, what dropped in was no urgency.
Yeah, you don't have clarity, but yet this no urgency dropped in, which was not a conversation, it wasn't a long sentence.
It didn't drop in last night.
And it did drop in last night, but no urgency. And it, and to just see, to just see that maybe this was what was to be seen in this situation.
Yeah, and it just, for me, it kind of nuanced the idea of saying yes.
Nuanced.
In that, where conditioning would take that is, anything comes up, I've got to go do it.
Yeah.
I've got to go do it. And I remember Faith years ago, a former monk, talking about watching Sherry occasionally when things would come in that seemed untoward and the computer is going delete, 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 you know? And I thought, which is, you know, you think, look at that and say, well, that's a no. But actually, it's personal, that's a yes. But a different kind of yes.
Wow.
So, so just, it just nuanced it that maybe just because something arises doesn't mean the yes has to be, I'm going to jump up and do something about it right now.
Wow.
Which makes it more difficult to know in a sense, but also kind of, it really, what conditioning would say is, well, then there's more pressure to figure it out, which is never the way. But there somehow it invites more paying attention.
Invites more paying attention, yes, yes. So it just nuances that yes, and it's not the yes that conditioned mind would have us believe that is yes to every little thing that it says and that we need to act on and that the newspapers say or the telephone says or whatever. But, you know, it's just, like you said, a yes to paying attention and to yes to going with what life is saying yes to. And would you say what life is saying yes to into that moment? Which requires paying attention.
And there's one final thing that I've been practicing with about the yes. So a couple times I've been doing this task, various tasks that I don't really want to do. And what I find is, if I pay attention to each little piece of it, I get out of that conversation. At the beginning of the day, we have to give our cats these drops. We have a little cat, and she needs these drops. Probably we need these drops. She needs these drops. So it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like, oh God, I have to do this for the cat. But if I just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that bottle, 1, 2, if that's all I'm doing, there's no conversation, and there's no problem. I mean, I really get there's no problem. So sometimes I find it helpful to just really focus on just the thing,
just the truly thing.
That instant.
Yes.
And that drops the conversation.
It just seems like that's what we hear over and over again.
Yeah.
This here now. Yeah. Just focusing on the one step, the one thing, and it, everything is possible.
Yeah. Because otherwise what conditioning would do is say, this isn't any fun, but you should be having fun because...
Right. Mm-hmm. And the whole time you're doing it, it's repeating that, this isn't any fun.
Yeah.
And as you said, just counting drops, what's not fun about that?
That's right. It's not even a question of whether it's fun.
I'll jump in. It's been great to be here. Relaxing. I feel so privileged to be asked to participate and then to be able to do it. It's just great. to be able to come to be of service, mm-hmm. For all those people that are coming here, you know, probably many for the first time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's also mixed with, you know, kitchen dilemmas. And it does seem to catch me in the kitchen, where I find myself starting to go faster and then doing one thing, dropping it, and then go to another thing, and I start just getting a little out of control. Mm. Well, I'm saying it's out of control. That's just what I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. I'll do one task, and then, oh, I can just go do that task. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, right, I forgot about that task. Mm-hmm. And then the self-hate comes up. I notice it's the self-hate. And now I'm a bad person, I should know, and all that stuff. I notice a little frustration, yeah. Because I know the self-hate comes up, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to control it or to say no, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. just so strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've recorded about it. Mm-hmm. That tends to help, mm-hmm. but I sense I start getting an aversion to putting myself in the situation. So there's a fear that I'm going to go and do whatever, mm-hmm. and everyone's going so fast, and I don't know what I'm doing, mm-hmm. and then I get anxious about it. Mm-hmm.
So there's suffering
in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone just like is really honored or feels the privilege of being at the monastery and being able to be of service. And like you said, for many people that have never been here before, and she just jumps at the chance, like, wow. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could. I was available. I can mm-hmm. just like, I can. I'm so close by. This mm-hmm. is, it's just perfect mm-hmm. that I can show up for you, for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she sees suffering happens when, you know, she gets in this situation where she finds her attention being pulled in a, it sounds like this is what you're saying, pulled in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't get to finish one thing. It's just like, oh, you know,
yeah.
Got to do this, got to do that.
And then there's suffering because I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Uh-huh. So there's not the joy because the voices are, this is wrong, there's not enough soap, what about that? there's so many particulars.
Yeah, so she hears about how wrong she's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I should know better.
And she should know better.
They've told me, I can't remember.
Yeah. And she doesn't want that to be happening, and then there's this, that she finds this aversion to even participating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is a clue that that could be going on in other areas of my life. Might want to hide out because it's scary and hard and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so seeing that this is a process that might show up in other areas of, and how, and what happens with it is that there's a pulling back, got to hide out, mm-hmm. this is scary, don't want to show up.
Yeah, and then the quote of either yes, putting both hands up, and I'm like, but it's so hot. You know, I can't use both hands. but if you know, the other side is suffering. Uh-huh. It's so true, the way that quote, you know, mm-hmm. a no is not leading to anywhere good.
Yeah.
So, you know, yesterday when I was so hot, it was kind of miserable, but it was also trying to be with myself in the hard mm-hmm. task. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a trying to be with this human being in a hard task.
Yeah.
And really knowing that suffering is not the choice that
meaning that it's not the choice.
It's not the choice that you want. It's not what brought her to the monastery.
Right.
To participate.
I'm here to see that and shove it aside.
I'm here to see that.
Yeah.
And to choose, make another choice.
Make another choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard sometimes.
Sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Are you seeing any ways to support her?
Well, I've been doing a lot of recording, and I think I've broken through on the recording and listening. I take every class, just about, because I just haven't been doing it, but I just slowly keep doing it. My Zen coach is helping a lot, so I am pushing through this. Wow. I have to, right? Yeah.
Wow. So there is a commitment, a big commitment to just... to go for what is supporting, to know and actually know what's supporting, to know getting to the monastery is supportive, to know, being in a recording and listening class, to have a Zen coach, and to have the willingness to keep showing up for all those things.
Yeah. I mean, the whole of it is very fun, right? It's a great way of life.
It's a great way of life. Practice is a great way. Rebecca?
It's so striking me about this whole morning's conversation is the innocence and the goodness.
Could you just stick
with it? Sure. Project.
Like that?
Project morning.
Do you want me to repeat it?
Yes, please. Yes.
The thing that's been striking me is the goodness and the innocence that's been so talked about, so demonstrated this morning.
Just struck by the goodness and innocence that,
It's, and I could be distracted by the cruelty of the conditioning that comes in and pounces on that goodness and innocence. I'd rather keep the focus on the innocence and the goodness, and that in itself is a practice.
It's a practice to keep the attention focused on the goodness and the innocence when that strong pull, that pull is there too.
Yeah, I had a recording exchange with the mentor this week about that very thing, and I was talking roundabout way. I came to this place in the recording where I was saying, I am so glad that I never taught in public schools. I didn't know that's what my undergraduate degree is in, because I used to work in schools, but I wasn't a teacher, and it broke my heart. Anytime I would be walking down the halls, I would see teachers telling all those little, teaching them, you got to walk in a straight line, don't talk, put your hands out now, pop, all of those kinds of things to conform them to where they can walk down a line in a hallway in an orderly way. And I remember the days I would just say, oh, thank God I don't have to do that to children, and I was in the recording of this, I was getting really emotional. Sort of like that caller on Open Era that talks about when he sees a hurt, a wounded animal, it just debilitates him.
Right, exactly.
And I'm feeling it right now too, but I felt it in the recorder too, and I was like, oh, thank God, I'm so happy to do this to children. it was a lot like that. And just the maiming of innocence. And then the mentor came back and said something to the effect of, everybody was conditioned that way. And that doesn't kill innocence. It pointed to all these people that I hold up, and including myself, and the innocence in me. And it's like, that doesn't kill innocence.
Wow.
That was a revelation.
Wow. So the mentor came in just to affirm that even though it may look externally like, innocence is being regimented out of people and our children specifically, and that you just had this great gratitude that you didn't have to be a part of that squashing of innocence, but the mentor just saying, you can't kill it.
Exactly.
Just cannot kill that innocence.
That's exactly it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I so related to the TV addiction thing because, you know, it's like to hear that, I want a bigger life than commentary about sports and politics. I want it. You know, there's the innocence.
Yes.
And even though I personally had a big-time TV addiction, too, for a long, long time, and even an addiction to, even television can't kill it.
Yes.
It's still there. You know?
Yes.
I mean, there's just, it's so strong.
It's so strong. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are so many things that claim to be able to kill it.
Yes, as you said, they claim to be able to kill it and would want us to believe that it's killed it.
Yes. Mm.
And
yeah.
And as the mentor says, can't.
Just can't do it. And those moments when it pops through and just it being the goodness and the innocence just sort of bowls its way into one's experience, like in 95 degree heat doing chores and just really being with oneself. I mean, my God, you know? Who could look at that and say, yes, I didn't even, my God, look at the goodness there.
Bless their heart.
I know. I mean, all of that, you know, all of that. And I had one of those on Friday. Yeah, Friday. So that night's soup was butternut summer squash soup. The grocery store on Thursday was out of squash soup. No, this was, when did I shop? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday.
Anyway. Yeah.
And we needed, the deadline was coming, and they didn't have any. And so the grocer gets on the phone with the farmer. Do you have any summer squash? Well, I'm gonna go see this afternoon. I'm gonna drive down the hill. Tells me maybe this afternoon. Okay, so I call maybe this afternoon, and then it's like, okay, well, I can pick it up. Says Sherry, the guide of the practice, who's now it's like this whole team effort to get the summer squash for these wonderful people who are coming to do the brave work of ending suffering and that there is nothing wrong with you retreat, right? So that afternoon, everybody, you know, I'm picturing the farmer. He hadn't gotten back with us yet. Well, that's because he's out in the field picking the summer squash, right? And then he drives down the hill, delivers it. The grocer calls me. It's here. I call Sherry. It's here. Sherry goes and picks it up. So it shows up. On our back porch, I open the bag and I see the most brilliant yellow summer squash, and I just burst into tears because I think of the goodness, everyone. Mm-hmm.
The goodness of everyone.
Yeah.
To support innocence. You know, to just do whatever it takes to get that yellow squash, or, you know.
And the squash itself, giving itself.
And giving itself in the beauty.
Oh, my God, it was beautiful, visually, and, you know. And then here we go and make the soup. I mean, it was just like a symphony of goodness and innocence. And the fact that I could be present to it in the midst of all this other whirlwind of crap that would try to keep us from seeing it, that in itself is a miracle.
What a great example of how you started with, you know, really, really making a choice to keep the attention on the innocence, and rather than, because in that situation it would have been real easy to keep the attention on urgency, you know, wrong, da 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 da, and you know, there was the attention on just the beauty, the love, the participation. Thank you.
I got to have an experience recently of just like a really visceral experience of how much more powerful authenticity is than the hatefulness of ego. Because that's a place it has recently one kind of tried to pull me in. You know, the where you get in those places where it's saying like the darkness is stronger than the light. This
Yes.
And just to, you know, prove to myself over and over again that that's just what it says to distract us from all that is. It's like the little dot saying, I'm more big and real than the whole universe.
So that little black dot, you know, just calling out that, trying to make you believe it's more big and real than the entire authentic, beautiful universe.
And so the experience was, so we all gathered together to celebrate something. As Sherry put it, we were celebrating the triumph of life, right? And I was sitting there at this gathering and hearing people talk about how, so I'd been finishing a project and people were talking about how they'd been kind of, you know, walking past where I was working and sending support and encouragement. And as I was sitting there listening, I thought, I've been living in a really strange reality. I've been projecting this self-hating reality where people are walking past, resenting me, and thinking, why isn't she out here working? What's she doing in there anyway? And so, projecting resentment and negativity and disapproval like that. And so it was like a waking up of, I've been living in a really strange, made-up, self-hate world. And it was like like this just being flooded with light, right? Wow. Like just sweeping away that reality that had tried to make itself real. That wasn't the only reality. There were glimpses of something else, but it, you know, it kind of kept coming back. And just getting to see that was, so I was talking about it in guidance and saying, you know, I got to have that waking up experience. And the response was, well, you know, you can always say, I'm thinking that people are resenting me for doing this thing. And the response will be, yeah, we call that identification. And to see, I just saw that I hadn't seen it. I had, like, it was like, it was so much an orientation that I didn't see it was identification. Like, it was so real that I was aware, I was aware it was going on, and there was an impulse to say something like that. You know, I'm hearing a lot that there's all this, you know, resentment or whatever. But what was stopping me was, well, it's so obviously real. Why put somebody through having to confirm it? Right? Why? It's so real.
Wow.
It had me, like, so caught in it that I was frightened of saying that because it's so obviously true.
Yeah.
And what a no-exit hell it tries to create like that. It just felt like real and true in me, and it was this big identification trying to keep me small and in this self-hate reality. And so what was so wonderful about that process was to get to see that process of being in an orientation and not seeing it, and then having the chance to see it for what it is, and, you know, to have that now as a process to be aware of, and also that there's that now experience in the body and the whole system of that authenticity and love, and just like being flooded with that. And so when I can feel there's something that's pulling me away from that, I know that that's not real. So it's like that calibration that we talk about, right? That if there's something going on where I feel not loved and not supported and not encouraged, that's what's not real. That experience that I had can't be, you know, taken away in that sense.
Yeah. So having had that actual experience of what authenticity actually feels like in the body and everything, and, you know, it's so useful, as you say, in recalibrating.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when we find ourselves, and probably there's not a person in this room that cannot relate to that, you know, being identified, but this is real, you know? What can I even say? I don't want to even talk about it because I don't want him to say, yeah, that's true. You know, would you please leave? You know, exactly. We've been waiting for you to bring it up. And so, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You finish that and then I'll.
Well, you know.
So I just so.
Yeah. we've been waiting for you to bring it up so we can confirm it. And then to have that all just swept away,
yes,
you know, by a whole different reality,
yeah,
you know, that's, yeah.
And then, oh, I've been living in a very different reality from what's around me.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that thing of, because that was it, that was the other part of the guidance that I'm working with and seeing how it's showing up, that, you know, if so the monastery mimics life, and so if the guidance is yes, you can do something, accept it, right? None of this, well, but they probably think, and they're probably judging me, and they probably really don't like me, and they probably right, that's ego, and it's like this process of so life offers information, and then there's that identification with ego, undermining it, questioning it, having a conversation about it, doubting it, all that control process, right? That I don't trust this information. I have to, you know, take charge, take control, and figure it out by myself.
Yeah,
you know, all building that separation.
Mm-hmm.
So when like life offers information, when life in the form of monastery offers information, accept it. And, you know, we can just hear that.
No, end of
it. None of that. Oh, they probably don't. And just the life force going, shh.
Wow.
Instead, just what just dropped in is that, you know, being the force of nature, giving ourselves to a purpose, think is a mighty one, not the feverish, selfish little plot of ailments complaining that the world won't devote itself to making us happy and all of that. Well, they probably don't like, that's not the force of nature speaking.
Yeah, so that when life says yes, and for us it's in the form of the monastery,
you know,
we have that unbelievable advantage of having the ability to, you know, have guidance.
Exactly.
Have that, you know, clear support from life. And as you say, and we can say yes and go with it, or be a feverish little clod of ailments going, well, they didn't really mean that. And, they, you know, it probably, da 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 da. And, they, you know.
Exactly.
And to just see through this. And, you know, but it takes what it takes.
It takes what
it takes.
Exactly.
And so to have this whole experience and see that whole process, and now to say, oh, you know what? It's possible just to say yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the campaign not to get me to go to that celebration was just like almighty, which is why I knew I had to go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was that whole thing of, well, probably nobody wants to go anyway, right? And then that whole thing where it's like, they probably don't want to go. And then it looks like, you know, then you know, in that self-hate reality, you withdraw.
Yeah.
And then people think, well, she doesn't like us, so we'll go to that. But to catch on to that, right?
Yeah.
Because in that egocentric reality, it is all about what they think of me instead of, well, what am I contributing? What am I offering and bringing energetically?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a huge, huge workshop. And to just have that flood of light, flood in, is just a huge, huge gift, and as you say, it takes what it takes.
It takes what it takes, and then we get to see that we can't kill innocence.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember just it being said over and over again. You know, here in practice, you know, authenticity can't be harmed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like that there is nothing wrong with you.
Authenticity. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Mm.